sponsored by Margaret Jackson.
AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life, here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine and Business on the Edge Incorporated. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's radio show here in Silicon Valley, around the Bay Area here, the world, and also on iHeartRadio and streaming audiences around the world. We always appreciate your listenership. If you want to call into the show, yes. We are live. We are live tonight. You can dial into the show at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220. And get your questions and comments on air with me tonight. Of course, relevant to our subject matter, which we are going to be talking about, what's going on with COVID-19, small businesses, and what they're experiencing and their questions that they have for us tonight. So stay tuned here on the show, and we're going to get those questions out here as soon as we can. Governor Gavin Newsom expanded the shelter in place to all Californians yesterday. 40 million residents in California to stay at home. In fact, I am doing my show from my loft in my home because of that particular order to prevent the further spread of the coronavirus pandemic here in California. And we've been hit hard here in the Bay Area. So I think that it's important for us to abide by that order, because we want to see things get back to what we once knew. But we might talk a little bit about some of my thoughts on that and what's to come and being ready for post-pandemic. We need to talk about that as well. But before we do that, we have a very special guest on the show tonight, Julie Klaus. Julie Klaus is the district director for the San Francisco SBA. And there's a lot of questions that small businesses have with regards to what the SBA is doing, the disaster and injury loan, and how they can get the support that they need. How are they, all of these different questions that small businesses have on just how do I process? What am I going to do with my employees? Can I get funding? Can I get a loan? Can I get a grant? And we have all of these questions from small businesses that we want to give District Director Julie Klaus an opportunity to respond to real small business owners that have asked these questions. These are not my questions. These are questions from real small business owners that are very, very concerned, a lot of fears, a lot of worries, and we want to help kind of put them at ease. And this is what I would say to you if you're a small business owner out there. And you may say, you know, Coach Margaret, this is you don't understand, or it's easy for you to say that. And it's not easy for me to say it. And I do understand, because I went through the recession with my first company, and I was in that situation wondering how we were going to pay our employees and debating whether or not we should lay them off or should I hang on. And what I will tell you is that I went it alone, and I did it the wrong way. This is many years ago, and I didn't reach out to a SBA or to an SBDC. And as a result of that, I made really bad choices. I kept my employees longer because of my compassion to make sure that they were eating and feeding their kids and feeding their families. And that might sound bad, but it really, in the long run, it really hurt the company financially. It hurt the whole dynamics of trying to, and I ended up losing that company. So, you know, sometimes you lose, but I learned a lot as a result of that. And so now I can tell you in hindsight, and everything that I've learned over the last 20 years, is that slow down, stay calm, keep your peace, and work with all available resources. Work with your SBA, work with your SBDCs. Let people who are not emotionally connected to your businesses to help you make smart, sound decisions. This is not the end of the world. You're going to get on the other side of this, and you'll be more better for it because you're learning how to do business in the new way. Doesn't mean that you need to be out of business. It means that you have to look at doing business differently. And so I'm going to bring Julie Klaus on. And Julie, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciate you taking the time out. We know that you guys are swamped, but you're giving a voice back to the people and back to small businesses.
Thank you, Margaret. I know I really appreciate, you know, your invitation and any platform that we can utilize to get the information out there. I know this is such a challenging time. You know, it's unprecedented is the word, you know, we hear a lot, and it's so true. And I know people are getting information thrown at them so rapidly, things changing literally daily, sometimes hourly. So tonight I appreciate the chance to really talk at least about this one piece that people are hearing in the media, this economic injury disaster loan program, and kind of say, talk about what it is, what it's there for, how to access it, and then, you know, address some of the questions that you have from your listeners.
Absolutely.
So.
So go right ahead. Yes, absolutely. So I know we're kind of doing this dance here. You in the studio, it's just so much more chemistry there. But just give us a breakdown of the economic injury disaster loan. What does this really mean? This is new. We haven't seen a pandemic. What is SBA saying?
Yes. So this program is part of our disaster assistance programs. So if you've been through a flood or a hurricane or you know, wildfires here in California, this is a program we do, then we usually deploy it to a very small geographic area that's been adversely impacted by this natural disaster. So we're taking this program and applying it to this pandemic situation, which is new and different for us. But the guts of what this program is a low-interest loan for working capital to small businesses and private nonprofits who are suffering an economic injury as a result of COVID-19. So this is a working capital loan that's there to support, look at the losses that you sustain, the kind of financial needs you have today, and then projecting out, you know, for months to what your needs are going to be. And the proceeds of this loan, again, it's a working capital loan, can help you pay for financial obligations and the operating expenses you have that you could have paid but for COVID-19, you know, affecting us. And then people can use this working capital to cover things like their fixed expenses, like rent, utilities. You can use it to cover payroll, accounts payable. Can also use it to cover maybe new extraordinary expenses you are incurring as a result of COVID-19. For example, maybe you have to buy protective gear or you have to retrofit, you know, any of your equipment or something, things that are added expenses that you now are responsible for because of COVID-19. So that's kind of
a quick overview. Right. That's the basics. So let me ask you this. Let me step in for just a second, Julie. Some of the questions that we're getting, and as we have you break out the basics of this. So what are the interest rates, payback terms, how long, when will they start? A lot of those kind of looming questions are kind of general. Can you go over some of those for us?
Absolutely. So this program, the loan, the maximum loan size available is $2 million. There's no minimum, but the loan term is typically over 30 years. So the people have an ability to amortize this debt over 30 years. Typically, the term are usually 15 years or 30 years. The loans, like I said, can go up to $2 million. Anything under $25,000 does not require any collateral. The loans over $25,000, we will be asking businesses to pledge the collateral that's available. But I do want to note that lack of collateral is not a reason we will decline this loan. In fact, there are many businesses that aren't going to have enough collateral, and that's okay. The interest rates for this particular loan are 3.75% is the interest rate for small businesses, and for nonprofits, the interest rate is 2.75%. And I also want to say that this loan is direct from SBA. So this is unlike anything else you've probably ever experienced. And with this loan, we do have the interest rate, but there are no fees, there are no points, there are no closing costs. It is a direct loan from SBA with just the interest rate attached to it. And the other thing to be aware of is that while we can, you know, process this loan and give you the funds, you know, soon, you don't have to start repaying right away. You can defer your payments, you know, for 12 months, up to 2 years in some cases. So it's a chance for us to get money out directly to these small businesses to help with their cash flow, to help them pay their operating expenses. And then we'll look at, repayment to start at some point in the future.
Okay, so let's. I've got one more question for you, and I think it's one of the questions from the small businesses. But inquiring minds want to know. So I submit my application, I go through the process, and I get approved. How long will it take for me to receive those funds?
That's a very good question, and can't make any promises because obviously we're going to have super high demand for this program. But typically from application date up through getting the funds dispersed to you, we're saying approximately 35 days. And so typically what happens is you apply, and it's online application, and we're strongly encouraging people to use the online application. It goes into the queue. It is processed. That usually takes 2 to 3 weeks. And then once the loan is approved, we send the borrower the closing documents, and then we're able to disperse the funds. And the closing documents and disbursement typically takes about 5 days.
Okay, so we're looking at maybe a month out.
Yes.
Per business. And that's still a little scary. And I can get one more question in before we go to a commercial break. And so we'll start out really with just one of the questions on the list. I'll kind of pull from different places on the list. One of the questions was, could owned equipment be considered for collateral? If it's not property, could it be some sort of equipment as well?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, any asset of value can be, you know, leveraged as collateral.
Okay, so here's one more. I think I can get another one in. That was really quick and fast and easy. We had one small business. You know, I've been denied in the past. I've got 30 seconds. You've got 30 seconds to answer this question or less. I've been denied an SBA loan in the past. I don't feel really good about this. Could they be approved in the future, or in this disaster loan?
Yes, and my short answer is yes, because this is unlike any of SBA's other loan products. It has different underwriting standards and criteria. So if you have an SBA 7A or 504 loan, totally different. The two don't relate to each other. So yes, short answer is yes.
Fantastic. We're going to go to a commercial break. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge and Bay Area's business and finance leader. Stay tuned.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are talking to, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Julie Klaus, the district director here in Silicon Valley, San Francisco SBA, and she's fielding questions from small businesses with regards to the economic injury disaster loan and helping small businesses think about how to get through this process. And I want to say one thing, and I've had small businesses a little bit disgruntled, Julie, because this is not a grant program and that they can't get the money for free. And in our last segment, you talked about this is a 3.75% loan. It's not, the payback can start anywhere from 12 months up to 2 years, and maybe 15 to 30 years payback. I mean, I think that's a pretty good deal. You're never going to get that from a bank. And so I think that there's some things that we have to think about and make realistic for these small businesses, that this is an opportunity, and your government is saying, we're trying to help, and this is the best way for us to help you.
Right. Yep. Thank you, Margaret. Yes. It's one of those things I tell people, just stop and think for a moment and do some quick math. It's very inexpensive money, and it's a program that we have available today and we are able to offer right away. So I'm encouraging people to take advantage of it if they have the financial need.
Exactly. So let's get to back to some other of these questions that we have. So I want to try to get through all of them before we end the show tonight, and maybe a few more we can pop in on top of that as well. Here's another question. Is there any, and we may have kind of answered this, but I want the small business owners to hear their questions, that we heard them and we're responding. Is there any ETA on the SBA.gov website to actually function as a disaster loan avenue? It currently does not service, this is what they're saying, it currently does not service any California counties at all, despite listing many as being eligible.
Thank you for that. I understand the frustrations, and this program it came out quickly, and it's changing daily. So I'm happy to announce, as of yesterday, every single California county is declared and is eligible, and it should be showing up in there. One tip I want to throw out, if you're not seeing your California county listed, double check and make sure in the application that you're actually selecting Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. You'll see another program in there as well under the disaster umbrella. So if you select that one, your county won't show up. So my tip number one is make sure when you're in the application, you're actually selecting Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. And then the next screen should allow you to select your county.
Thank you. So here's another question here. How long is the typical approval process for the loans? That's part one. And would you suggest online application or mail-in?
Yes, I definitely suggest the online application, because it'll put your application in the queue for processing much more quickly and more efficiently. Certainly the mail is an option, and if that is the only option that works for you or is better for you for whatever reason, please do that as well, or do that instead. I should say, don't do both. Pick one, please. But the approval times, I can tell you what's kind of happening today. I expect, as demand continues to increase very rapidly, these times might get a little bit longer, but I would plan on at least 30 days right now. From the date you submit the application until the date they disperse the funds to you.
Okay. So I called the SBA and was told they're still building the website county by county, and there was no ETA when each county would be done. And I'm sure this is about the declaration, and you're saying that all counties have been declared.
In California, yes. I know it's rapidly happening across the entire country as well. But I can confirm with absolute certainty that all California counties have been declared. And so if people aren't finding their California base and aren't finding their county, they should give us a call, and we'll try to triage with you over seeing what you're looking at. Like I said, that tip, if you maybe selected the wrong program accidentally. So there's a couple things that we can try to walk people through to make sure that they're in the right program, in the right spot in the application.
Okay, so and now we're on iHeartRadio, we're global, we're national. Mm-hmm. What would you tell those small businesses? Should they check in with their SBAs in their respective areas to find out whether or not their counties or how they're dealing with this process? I'm assuming it's similar. Should they connect with their SBAs if they're not finding the information that they need?
They can. I would say as a first line of defense is to check the website. If you in the disaster assistance portal, anybody can go in and see the initial phases of it. And there is a section that says who is eligible. And that's being updated, in real time as declarations are made and signed off. In this particular scenario, every state governor needed to make a declaration, a request to SBA for disaster assistance. So as that's happening, that's being populated in pretty much real time into that portal. So I would check there first. And if you don't see your county, then yes, please feel free to call your district office, and maybe they have some more information on what's happening in your particular state or county.
Okay, we've got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, more with SBA District Director Julie Klaus. Stay tuned and stay plugged in. AM 1220 KDOW Business and Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW. Oh, yes, it's
welcome back. Welcome back. Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. It's ladies' night. We need some upbeat music here and just to kind of get our emotions out of this pandemic. I think we need to laugh a little bit more, and we need to enjoy we're really enjoying our families a little more. I know that I am here working from home each day. I want to clarify something, Julie. And if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Julie Klaus, who is the district director for the San Francisco Small Business Administration. And so she's fielding questions from our small business community. These are real questions from real people, real small businesses that's feeling the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. But before we get back into that, I want to make clear, and I say this often on the show when I'm talking about SBA. SBA and SBDC are not the same organizations. SBA is the funder of the Small Business Development Center program, and oftentimes we see the wires get crossed, and you see business owners contacting SBDC trying to find SBA. You want to give a little bit more information around that and help our audience understand that there is really a clear difference?
Sure. I mean, SBA, Small Business Administration, is a federal agency, so we provide a lot of different services, and as you indicated, the Small Business Development Centers, and also coupled with SCORE and our Women Business Centers and our Veteran Business Outreach Centers, are one of our primary programs where we are able to provide free business advising and low and no-cost training programs to small businesses. So the SBA being the parents, in the way of speaking, and then we have lots of different programs. As our resource partners, you know, it's an invaluable group of people that we rely on. And especially right now, they can help us out with working with the businesses and making sure that they're getting their information together and getting prepared to submit their loan application. So this is, SBA has kind of got the home of all these different programs, and the SBDC is one of them, and they're helping, and they're really helping us implement and reach out to our small business community.
Fantastic response. Did and I just want to say to my listening audience out there, did you get that? That's something you should tuck away and keep close to you, so that way you're connecting with the right organizations. So let's get back to some of these questions. If I have approvals on other loans on favorable terms, can I still pursue the SBA disaster loan because of the deferred payment option?
Yeah, so I'm going to assume that the question relates to commercial loans that they may have, whether they're SBA guaranteed or otherwise. And mm-hmm. So the answer is yes. Just because you have existing long-term debt does not preclude you in any way from applying for these disaster loans. The disaster loan program. They're separate. They're treated separate inside of SBA. And I mean, we will look, you know, it is a loan, so we will look at repayment ability, but we're looking a little further out in the future. We're not just looking at your situation that exists today because you're applying for this loan. Your situation today is, you know, probably not wonderful. So we are going to look at, you know, your capacity to pay off the debt, but again, over time, over 30 years, and we will factor in any existing debt, but again, that should not dissuade you from applying for this program.
Fantastic. I think you just set someone, many, many small businesses at ease here. So regarding SBA loans, what are the particular underwriting requirements that make loans more or less favorable for SBA?
Mm-hmm. So this, you know, if you've gotten a commercial loan before, you know, you had a very, you know, maybe a lengthy process. You submitted probably 500 pounds of paper to substantiate your request. This process is not like that. It's much more streamlined. We're actually only collecting some minimal documentation. We have the application, which you can fill out directly online. We are going to ask, we're going to look at your tax returns, but we're going to ask you to do IRS Form 4506T, which is the authorization to the IRS to give us your tax transcript. And we're going to ask for a personal financial statement and a statement of liabilities, which is going to have you list all of your debts and liabilities. And that's to help us determine like what your financial need is going to look like. And then the initial phase of your application, that's it. That now, of course, we may come back to you during the analysis portion to ask for additional information or clarifying information, but it's pretty streamlined and we're really just looking at who you are, you know, credit history, but again, not at the same standards as you would find in normal commercial lending. We're going to look to see that you are an eligible business, obviously a small business. And we're going to look to see that you have pledged available collateral if it's a loan over $25,000. And we're basically going to just make sure that you have ability to repay over 30 years.
Absolutely. We've got to go to another commercial break. Good stuff. AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. You're listening to Bay Area's business and finance leader.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Small Business Concierge segment of the show. You know, this is my favorite spot. It's just my favorite portion of the show because we get to talk about small businesses. And usually I'll drill in and talk to one of our small businesses, but we have SBA here with us tonight, and we want to get back to those questions. But just to give you a little bit of information about the Small Business Concierge Digital Magazine, we are going to extend the Power Women, Power Secrets magazine. Each year we extend one of our magazines, and because of the COVID-19, we're going to extend it, and we're going to add articles and support information for you in this magazine and ways that you can kind of change your thinking about how you're doing your business in this very unusual time. Rather than that fixed thinking that you've had about your small business, we're going to give you some growth mindsets of ideas and ways that you can begin to rebuild your business, increase your sales, believe it or not, increase your sales. We're going to talk about that in the magazine. So we're starting to work on that right now. I talked to my designer and supervisor on the East Coast that works with me on this magazine. He supervises all of the graphic designs and arts and things that goes into the magazine. And we'll be working here in Silicon Valley with our editor-in-chief to work on getting some more published articles for you out there to help you. And it's digital, and we're going to have more YouTube videos connected to it. So some of the articles are going to have videos connected, embedded into the article. So you're going to be able to get more information from our small businesses that are showing you what they're working with. They are our thought leaders of today, and we want to give small businesses an opportunity. But that being said, let's get back to San Francisco Small Business Administration District Director Julie Klaus, who has been fielding questions, small business questions. You've asked these questions, and I put them on the air. Your voice is being heard, not just in Silicon Valley, but throughout the world. And I know a lot of these questions are your questions, wherever you're at in your respective areas here in the United States. Julie, so we're going to get back to some of these questions. Here's a question. We just got a SBA 7A loan in February. Do we still qualify for the SBA disaster loan?
Yes. Yes. The fact that you've got an existing 7A or 504 or any other loan product for that matter does not disqualify you from the disaster loans. You know, this is a unique pot of money for unique circumstances. I always tell people, you know, we have this disaster loan program and it's fantastic. It's one of those things you're so glad you have it, but you never actually want to have to tap into it because that means something, you know, devastating has happened, unfortunately. So I would tell people, you know, look at this as a separate, it's a separate product, a separate tool designed for a totally separate purpose. So I would, yeah, if you have existing debt, that's okay. You can certainly apply for these loans. And like I said, when we look at repayment, they will factor in, you know, your current debt load. But again, this is long-term loan, you know, 15 or 30 years. So the repayment ability is spread out over, you know, a length of time.
Excellent. And for you small businesses that are out there, the answers that Julie is giving us tonight, giving you tonight, should set you at ease. Again, when I, at the top of the show, I shared, stay calm, stay at peace. I know it's scary. I've been there and it's uncomfortable, but the SBA, the SBDCs, the organizations out there that can help you traffic through this process, don't go it alone. Make sure that you get connected to your local SBDC. Let them help walk you through this process. Let them help not just this situation. You have to remember that this is going to pass. That means that you not only have to get through this particular time, but you're going to have to be ready for the floodgates when they say you can go back to work, you can go back to life as you once knew it, which means the floodgates are going to come flying open. And you have to understand right now we are not in a recession. So in a recession, there's the tendency to hold on to your dollars. I don't want to buy anything. Money doesn't disappear from the system. It's not a magic trick. It doesn't, whether it's a recession or whatever is going on, the money and is still in the system. So right now we're just being told we can't go to the malls, we can't go to the restaurants, we can't gather in different places where we would spend money normally. When those floodgates open, you have to be ready to handle the demand that's coming as well. So we want to help get information out through processes, through programs like this, so you're ready. And Julie has done a great job on giving you information to kind of set you at ease and say, okay, I know it's going to take a little time. It's going to take maybe 30 days. Maybe you're looking at 4 to 5 weeks, but work with your SBDC business advisors to traffic through that and make new deals. Make new deals with your landlords. Make new contracts. Listen, landlords do not want empty spaces. They want you to stay in those spaces. In fact, if you lose the space, no one can come rent it or do anything with it right now. We're all under an order to stay. So there's nothing that really can happen. So make different deals. Maybe you're working out delayed payments and things like that. So think outside of the box. It's going to require you to think outside of the box. Have a growth mindset. Okay, so before we go to another commercial break, Julie, how long let me give you a different question. We talked about the interest rate. What's the interest rate on disaster loans and regular SBA loans? That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So the interest rate for the disaster loan is fixed at 3.75%. The SBA's normal programs, whether it be 7A or 504, your interest rates are going to vary. So it depends on how much money you're looking to borrow and the length of maturity and all of that. What SBA does in those other programs is we set a cap on what lenders can charge you. So you will negotiate those interest rates with your lender in those 7A and 504 environment. So it will definitely, usually will be higher than 3.75%, but how much higher is something you will negotiate with your lender.
And I'm sure they're not going to get 3.75% with no interest or no fees, no points, and all. This is just unbelievable in terms of the parameters of this loan. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with the SBA, and we're going to get the final thoughts from Julie on what she thinks you should do.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. You just can't go wrong with Phil Collins and his ability to kill those drums. I'm just telling you, you just cannot go wrong. I love Phil Collins, and I love coming into this last segment. So we're going to wrap up. We're at the bottom of the show. We've been talking to Julie Klaus, Small Business Administration District Director here in Silicon Valley. You've been fielding the questions from our small businesses in the Bay Area. These are real questions. These are not my questions. These are small business questions. We have a couple more before we get out of here, and we would really love for you to give these small businesses a tip on what you feel they should be doing during this time. But that'll be the last question. This is what this business owner is saying. I've started the online process, and the online loan application process has stalled on the request for transcript of the tax return. I have tried for several days to proceed past this step. Is there a problem with the program, or what should they be doing if it stalls at the request for the tax return transcripts?
Yeah, so I've also gotten a lot of phone calls and emails, some people having some error messages or difficulty with the system. And, I understand the frustrations that come with that. I truly do. And I apologize on behalf of what's happening. But part of it is due just to the demand, the load on our system, unfortunately. As you can imagine, this is the demand for the loans is huge. And our system right now, like even the SBA website, I just heard a statistic today that we're getting upwards of 2 million hits per hour. I mean, we usually get that per month. So it kind of shows you the volume and the need. I mean, we know the need is great and demand. So please, things might scroll a little slowly. Things might take a little bit longer to open, but please do keep coming back to the portal. As far as like the exact issue with the transcript, there's two ways to do transcripts. You can do the online request to IRS for a transcript that's kind of embedded in the online application, or worst case scenario, you can always print out the form, the paper form, sign it and scan it and upload it into the system as well. So if you're getting stuck, I guess I'd have to kind of work with individual